This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. رب شرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما يا كريم. On the onset, before we begin, a few of the brothers, they came to me and they were asking me this question. Why are we, like, we've covered this, but it's still not clear why are we studying this? They were like generally concerned, and they're like, we're just trying to understand that, you know, what are we going to benefit? Isn't it better if you teach us tahara, salah, fiqh? Because that's our daily ibadat and everything like that. Isn't that better? And why are we studying this science in the first place? Okay. So to be able to understand this, I think we have to go back and understand the greater concept over here before even salah or anything else. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in an authentic narration that is found in many of the authentic books, that la yu'minu ahadukum, that none of you have iman, hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa an-nasi ajma'in, that none of you shall have iman. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually negated the existence of iman, which means what? This hadith is talking to the Muslims. It's talking to a person who has said la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It's not talking to a Christian that's walking on the street, right? It's talking to a Muslim. So when we say la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, what happens? We entered Islam. We become a Muslim. But beyond that Islam, there's another state, which is a mu'min. And we're all striving to become a mu'min. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that complete iman, inshaAllah. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, your iman is not complete. Now if you go and read the sharh of this hadith, various different mufassirs of the early centuries, we're not talking about the mufassirs now, we're talking about people who did the explanation of this like in the 500, 600 hijris. How did they understand this ayah, this hadith? They clearly said, one of them, he said that nafa aslul iman. Prophet ﷺ negated the existence of iman in the heart of a person who does not love Prophet ﷺ more than his mother, father, and the entire unity. And another one, another hadith, it says, who does not love Prophet ﷺ more than himself. We all love ourselves the most. Prophet ﷺ, like, be even beyond yourself. In another hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, that person shall not taste halawatul iman. You shall not taste the sweetness of iman until Allah and His Messenger become more beloved to you mimma siwahuma, other than the entirety of whatever exists in this earth. They have to be the most beloved to you. So then the consequent question happens is, how do you develop this love if it is so important? Because without this love, we are not getting that iman. And that's the question we need to ask ourselves. How do you develop this love? Those of you that have been here can answer this question. Or maybe the brothers are right. There's still that you know, that question needs to... How do you develop this love? Come on, guys. Ma'rifa. Jazakallah khair. May Allah bless you. Ma'rifa, you must have ma'rifa, you must know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You must have ma'rifa about him. About what? You must have ma'rifa of two types. You can have his storyline, we're not talking about that. We're talking about ma'rifa of how did Rasulullah walk, how did he talk, how did he deal with the other faith. Like, I was today sitting with all these Christian chaplains and I was like, but I'm like, how did Rasulullah keep up? Like, I felt not very comfortable there. But, you know, they're all our brothers in different faith. But my question was, Rasulullah was hanging out with the Christians all the time and Jewish all the time. And he didn't feel that. Why am I feeling this? What's wrong with me here? Like, you know, I should be like fully in my skin, happy to be a Muslim. But there was a sense of like, I'm in their space. Right? So how did Rasulullah react to that? To be able to know how did he walk, to be able to know what did he eat, how did he eat, what did he like, what did he dislike. To be able to know that, you know, when a certain food was there, what was his preference? To be able to know that adab of eating food were different for different types of food. So there is that general statement, you should eat from mimma yaliq, from the what's in front of you. But then Rasulullah, when you know, they brought the first harvest of date palm trees, the fresh dates, Rasulullah is like, no, turn it around. No, other way. Other way. Not that date that is underneath. That's what I want. So from there, the ulama, they said that means that when it comes to dates, if they are presented, then you can pick and choose. So there is a general rule and there is an exception. How do we learn that? We learn that from Rasulullah. When meat was served, I talked about this, we'll get to that chapter. When meat was served, it was, if it was stew, if it was maraq, or where is our Maghribi Moroccan brothers? Any Moroccans here? They're all gone. They're probably drinking Maghribi chai outside. Right? No, it's Fridays. Moroccan is Friday night, yes. So what happens? When it was maraq, you know, you guys have that in Hyderabad too, right? Maraq. Maraq. Right? You have it. He's nodding his head. Different Hyderabad. So maraq, Rasulullah would love to eat it with his hand, that meat. But if it was shawi, it was barbecued or cooked over fire, then he preferred a shafra. He preferred a blade and he would cut that meat with the blade. So when we know all of these things about Rasulullah, ultimately it will develop an awareness about him, lead us to love him. Because you know little things about him. When you know that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, for example, his khasla, karam. He was generous. He was kind and generous. He was kareem. How do you know his karam, his karam? You know his karam when Abu Sufyan, because of whom you had Uhud. And in the Uhud, when Muslims, they were not very successful, he went behind the mountain where Rasulullah was hiding, and two of the helmets, the two pins of the helmet had entered Rasulullah's wajnata over these cheeks, his tooth broke. All of these things, he goes, Abu Sufyan says, U'lu Hubal. The victory was for Hubal. And this day for that day, i.e. today is for Badr. That same Abu Sufyan at Fath Makkah, that same Abu Sufyan at the time of Fath Makkah, Rasulullah meets him. And he says, Fath Makkah, he says, okay, I am the leader of Makkah, I am here to negotiate on the behalf of Makkah. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whosoever entered Kaaba, fahuwa amin. Whoever entered the haram, fahuwa amin. He's like, I need honor too. He's like, whosoever entered the house of Abu Sufyan, fahuwa amin. Karam. He still hasn't accepted Abu Sufyan Islam. He does later on. Right? Generosity. This is your staunch enemy and your what? Abu Sufyan was a direct relation. What was the relation? Father-in-law. Ajib. And now you were like entering. And what happens? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stands over there and he says, مَاذَا تَرَوْنَ أَنِّي فَاعِلٌ بِكُمْ. What do you think I'm going to do with you today, people of Makkah? You kicked me out of my own land. What does he say? They all know one attribute about him. Akhun Kareem. You're a generous brother. That's what they remember about him. After all they have done. Ibn Kareem. And you're the son of a generous one. And Rasulullah is like, فَذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمُ التُّلَاقَى. Leave, for all of you are free to go. So when we read these characteristics, the physical as well as the internal characteristics of Rasulullah, we left with no choice but to love him. So the question then happens, why do we need to love him? Because it's part of our iman. That's number one. Number two, we had mentioned that when you're going to be in the grave, right? One hadith narration, it says they're going to ask you, Man Nabiyuk? Who is your Nabi? The three questions. Man Rabbuk, Man Madinuk, Man Nabiyuk. The second question, the other hadith, it says that they will show you a vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the hadith says, ماذا تقول في هذا? They will show you and say, what do you say about this person? If you don't know the sifat, if you don't know the characteristics, you will not be able to see and describe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam there. And the third part about all of this is to truly place Rasulullah, truly believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the way he is. I was doing tawaf, and this is funny. This is true, funny story. We're doing tawaf, and this miskeen guy from, I don't know, from village, Bichara, Pakistan, say wherever he came from, either India or Pakistan, and he's like, you know, raising his hands, and he's doing tawaf, and he's just in this utter awe that Allah brought him to Kaaba, and he's just making dua, and he's saying, Ya Allah, Tere Nabi ki kabar ki kasam hai, tujhe mere saath ye kali kabar. I was like, what is he talking about? So he believed in a Muhammad, and he believed that Rasulullah is buried in Kaaba. Jahil, he doesn't know. So did he believe in the Nabi? Most of the scholars, they will say, no, he didn't believe in the Prophet that he's supposed to believe in. Because there are certain things we must believe about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Annahu Hashimiyun, he was Hashimi. That's why in every seerah book, they'll teach you the nasab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to believe that huwa hajar, he did hijrah. You have to believe that he was buried in Medina. The Nabi that I believe in, he is buried in Medina. All of these beliefs, when we go through Shama'il, we affirm that. If somebody believes that Rasulullah's beard was all white, intaqasa fi haqqi Rasulullah, he depleted the honor and where Rasulullah he was supposed to keep, and what he was, he brought the maqam of Rasulullah down. May Allah protect us, right? If you believe that, you know, different things, he was a sha'ir. Somebody believed that he believes in Rasulullah, and he just believes in this one extra element that Rasulullah was sha'ir, because all these hadiths that I read, mashaAllah. Was he a sha'ir? No, he wasn't. To believe about Rasulullah, that which he is not, also takes us out of iman. I was doing a counseling session in Canada, and I came across this, and you know, the father was really concerned about the son, and he was asking a lot of questions. So I asked him, what do you know about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he says, my bigger question that I need to ask is, why do I need to believe in somebody who's buried in his grave dead? May Allah protect us. The belief that Rasulullah is dead in his grave is against the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. From the hadith of Bukhari, that Hayatul Anbiya Ghayr, number one. Number two, they don't die in their graves. Number three, the other hadith in Muslim, which says, when every one of you says, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, raddallahu ruhahu, Allah gives Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his ruh to respond physically to your salam. His ruh is already there. So to believe in that anbiya are dead in the grave, will take you outside the fold of Islam. Because that is against the aqaid of Ahl's mainstream Sunni Islam. So when we go through these books, it allows us to create that foundation so we don't shake when calamities fall onto us. Okay? I hope this should be clear now. The people who are watching online, they're like, char introduction lessons, like, come on, let's begin the seerah at least. Right? So we'll begin, inshallah. We talked about the hadith. We started just for the barakah sake, that hadith. I will repeat that hadith today in a little bit more explanation, inshallah. Anas ibn Malik. So we talked about Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik, Imam Shafi'i, he says that any chain in which you have Anas, Malik, An Nafi, and Ibn Umar. Malik,
sit.
Malik, an Nafi, an Umar, an Ibn Umar. This chain is called Silsilatu Dhahabiyya, the golden chain of narration. Any hadith that comes through this chain is the highest level of hadith chain that you can have, called the golden chain. Why is it called golden chain? Because Imam Malik, 100% known as one of the top muhaddiths of that time, An Nafi', who learned from Ibn Umar. And because of this, the hadith that we get in Muwatta Imam Malik are considered, if they are from this chain or any other hadith books, are considered hadith of high authenticity. Okay? So the hadith it goes, أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ يَقُولُ Anas ibn Malik, أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ يَقُولُ Question for you guys. The translation over here is, أَنَّهُ indeed he, سَمِعَهُ he heard, يَقُولُ he was saying. When Anas ibn Malik, when this narrator is narrating this hadith, is he hearing Rasulullah at that time or is it after the event? It's after the event. Narration always happens after the event. Why is he talking about him listening to Prophet ﷺ in a present continuous tense? Why is he not saying, أَنِّي سَمِعْتُ I heard. As if it's happening right now. It was so vivid for him that it's as if Anas is telling me, as if it's happening right now. Right? And then that's why the muhaddiseen, they choose words, but when you read the translation, that is lost. Right? It's lost. Let me put my thing on, don't disturb. Anas ibn Malik, annahu sami'a yaqul, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laysa bi tawilin. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not extremely tall. Laysa bi tawilin. Because any exaggeration in any of the sifat and the khuluq, any of our attributes, too tall, too short, too dark, too white, like any of extremes, makes us not beautiful. So the question that happens is that, and this is a question that's really interesting, who was more beautiful than, was it Prophet ﷺ or Yusuf ﷺ? Yusuf ﷺ, okay, who says Yusuf? He's like, I don't, he does. He's like, who says Yusuf? He's like, he does. Maine kuch nahi bola. That I know, it seemed very, so who says Yusuf? It's okay, you guys are not gonna fail the exam. It's like, show of hands, you say Yusuf alayhi salam. Okay, Yusuf Ali, no Yusuf or? No, let's do the comparison. Yusuf or Yusuf alayhi salam or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Okay, let me tell you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he went on Isra Mi'raj, he saw Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, I believe on the third or the fourth sky, I don't remember exactly. And when he saw Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, إِذْ هُوَ أُوْتِيَ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ I saw Yusuf alayhi salam and he was given half of the beauty. شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ Half of the beauty. Now who's more beautiful? Yusuf alayhi salam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Beautiful. You guys didn't fall for the trap. Okay? Now, when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen in Salah, that Alif Lam, there are 17 different types of Alif Lam in Arabic language. Okay? Lamul Ma'rifa, Lam Fulan, Lamul Istighraq, like all of these grammar. You guys don't need to know that. There is a type of lam which is called lamul ahad. Okay? So I'll give you this. Lamul ahad means the last thing you remember. Or if I say something ambiguous, the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay? When I say the black cat, the regular musallis, which cat comes to your mind? Shadow, right? Outside. Okay? Ali Wali. Right? Ali Wali, right? That's the first, everybody remember, the first cat that comes to your mind, the black cat. So when I say the word al-qitta, in Arabic language, I'll say the cat. When I'm talking, it's like, you know, the cat, I don't need to specify, this first cat that's going to come to your mind is the cat that's outside. This is called lamul ahad. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, إِذْ هُوَ أُوْتِيَ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ that he had been given half of the beauty, which beauty is he referring to? His own beauty. Because Sahaba had never seen somebody more beautiful than him. So when he's saying he was given half of the beauty, the standard of beauty for Sahaba was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's wrong. Because beauty is not indivisible, number one. So the opinion about that, that's only two mufassirun that have said that. And most of the other mufassirun, they've actually said otherwise of that. Which means that it's not like nubuwa. Rasulullah had nubuwa, other people had nubuwa, everybody else had nubuwa. So beauty is just like that. Each person can be given a percentage of that highest standard of beauty. So what it is referring to is that from the highest standard, when somebody gets 100% score on the beauty care, you know, structure, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had 100. Yusuf alayhi salam was given 50. The second meaning about this, when they say, is that Rasulullah's beauty was never shared with anyone. So he was created from a completely different standard. It was never shared with anybody else. And the rest of the humanity, and that's where your answer comes, the rest of the humanity, their beauty was shared and 50% was given to Yusuf alayhi salam, and the rest of the 50 was divided in the rest of the ummah. And these are aqwal of ulama and salaf. I mean, it doesn't make us a better Muslim, but it allows us to understand the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laysa bitaweelin. So, i.e., whatever you think of the best height, he was the best of that. He walaysa biqaseerin, he was not short. Wala biabyad al-amhaq, he was not extremely white. Yes. Dawud alayhi salam. That's Dawud alayhi salam. And by the way, that hadith is also not. That's da'if hadith. Wala bi qasirin, he was not extremely short. Wala bi abyad al amhaq, he was not extremely white. Remember the white that looks really white, like it's really, really white? Now, the Arabs, they say that if a whiteness has a little bit yellowness in it, then that is a sign of beauty for women. But if the whiteness has a sign of redness in it, that's the best type of skin color that a man can have. So they prefer yellowness in a woman and Arab. And again, there's like Imra' al-Qais and his shi'r and stuff that we don't need to get into all of that. وَلَا بِقَسِيرٍ وَلَا بِطَوِيلٍ وَلَا بِأَبْيَضِ الْأَمْحَقِ He was not extreme. وَلَا بِآدَمِيٍ He was not extremely brown. He had a tinge of tanness, a little bit. And remember, we talked about that—the tinge of tanness. That you know, it is because if they saw him during sun, during summertime, you know, the kids they turn tan, and then during winter they become pale. So they're referring to those different stages that Rasulullah, this each person saw Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in different stages. La bija'adil qatat, the Masri's they have, is any Egyptians here? Yes, Egyptian brother. How are you? So they, what do they say, the curly hair, the ammiya for curly hair? Is your father here? Okay. What's the ammiya for curly hair in Egypt? Mukattat. Right? You guys use that ammiya, this colloquially. Mukattat. That mukattat comes from qatat. The Arabs, they generally like to make things easy. So instead of saying muqattat, they made it mukattat. Like it's just easy to say that. That colloquial word comes, which means curly hair. Musa alayhi salam, he had extremely curly hair. Isa alayhi salam, he had completely flat hair. So the Mufassirun of the Hadith, they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in terms of the sifat, the blend, like the best possible curly hair was Musa alayhi salam. The worst possible curly hair is who? Curly hair. Dajjal. Okay? Worst. So, you know, so we must know these sifat. These are all found. The best, ajmal, sha'r al-qatat and al-Isa alayhi salam. And ja'd al-qatat is the description of Dajjal. That they're horrendous. They look really bad. But if you were to look at the most beautiful curly hairs, it was Musa alayhi salam. Similarly, the most flat, beautiful hairs was Isa alayhi salam. So the ulama, they said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the hairs that were wavy. They had curls, but they added to the beauty of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ba'athahu Allah ta'ala ala ra'si arba'een. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him at the top of 40 of his years. Was he a Nabi before that ba'atha? Was Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a Nabi before he got the wahi? Can you be a Nabi before you get the wahi? So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says about Yahya alayhi salam. He was still in the belly. Ataynahu hukman wa nubuwa. So Yahya alayhi salam. Similarly, Isa alayhi salam. While he was in the belly, he was given the nubuwa. So from there, remember I said, every sifa that you think of a Nabi that he has, the Rasulullah was higher. In the hadith that is found in Ahmad and Hasan li ghayrihi, and there are around 14 different hadith that I checked before coming that are all referring to this hadith, and those hadith are da'if, but there are three hadith that are sahih about that. Hasan sahih. They say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that I was a Nabi, I was a prophet, and Adam alayhi salam kana bayna teen. He was still between mud and water, and Allah had already chosen me as a Nabi. So he was a Nabi, like he was a Nabi before even the existence of Adam alayhi salam. Right? And a lot of people, when they hear this the first time, like, it just shocks their existence. How? I mean, there are so many hadiths that have been transferred down to us about that. And that's why if you read the seerah books, they say, وَكَانَ وَكُنْتُ نَبِيًّا وَكَانَ آدَمُ كَانَ. There's a shi'r, it's poetry. It says, وَكُنْتُ نَبِيًّا, and I was a Nabi. وَآدَمُ, and Adam alayhi salam, he was in the kun fayakun stage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah was about to give the command of kana, kun. I was already a Nabi before that. Okay? So these are things that we must learn. بَعَثَهُ اللَّهُ أَرْبَعِينَ. Why after 40? So that these 40 years become a source of evidence for his prophethood. Neither did he do poetry. He was known for generosity. He was as-sadiq. He was al-amin. All the characteristics. 40 years, everybody in the society conformed, affirmed the character of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Arabs, they were about to kill one another. Rasulullah walks in. They said the last first person to walk in, he is the one who is going to decide. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks in at the rebuild of the Kaaba. Everybody, all the seven tribes, they all said, Radina, Radina. We're happy, it's Muhammad. This was before his prophethood. So these 40 years were not that Allah needed to wait for the 40 years. These 40 years was to prove and to establish his dominance as a prophet. To establish that, you know, before even he became a prophet, he was at the highest ranks of the morality. Then, ba'athahu Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him at 40. Sana fa'aqama bi Makkah 20 sana. He stayed in 10 sana. He stayed in Makkah for 10 years. Remember we said, round up, round down. The Arabs generally do that. 13, there's different narrations that say 13. When somebody says 10, this refers to, in general, 13 years. وَبِالْمَدِينَةَ 10 سِنِينَ, and he stayed in Medina for 10 years. وَتَوَفَّاهُ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life. عَلَى رَأْسِ 60 سَنَة, at the early, early 60s, i.e. 63. وَلَيْسَ فِي رَأْسِهِ وَلِحْيَتِهِ 20 شَعْرَةً بَيْضًا, and in his entire face and his head, there were not more than 20. Once Abu Bakr radiallahu anhi was sitting very close to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Rasulullah had passed a bowl of milk to drink and stuff. So you know Abu Bakr, he was all white. His beard had all turned white. So he looked at Rasulullah and there were 20 here. So he said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, laqad shibta. You're getting old. And Rasulullah like, khuddi. Like, look at yourself, like, So to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that level, look at yourself, like, I got only 15, 20, look at you, right? And that's what tells us about the lightheartedness of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ru'yah, his vision, before we die. We'll do the second hadith today. And Malik, this is also Malik, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, qal, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rab'atan. The word rab'a means balanced structure. Very important to understand. In everything, he was balanced. Okay? In his length, in his height, neither too tall nor too. Hasan al jism. His body was extremely beautiful. It is mentioned about that people did not have the audacity to look at his own wives. Did not have the audacity to look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without clothes, because he was so beautiful. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says in an authentic narration, that I never saw the private part of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. they couldn't, because they couldn't bear the amount, the sheer amount of how Allah had created. People could not look at the beauty of Rasulullah. And then you have people today, subhanAllah, may Allah guide their hearts. You know, they talk about Rasulullah in a way that, like, it's just like a normal thing. Yeah, it was Rasulullah. Ajeeb. When we read these things, we realize the gravitas of who we're dealing with. كان شعره ليس بجعد, his hair were not tangled up, they were ولا سبت, or neither completely straight. أسمر اللون, and this is an important part that I want to emphasize, and we'll end over here. أسمر اللون, it says that he was brown in color. Now, I will read this so that we understand this. وهذه اللفظ, and this word أسمر, انفرد به حميد عن أنس. So Anas, he heard it from Anas radiallahu anhu, but Humayd is the one who heard it. And only Humayd, after rest of all of the 50 narrators, only Humayd is the one who narrated it as brown in color. And almost, and this is a hadith sahih, and all of the muhaddis, they reject this hadith. This is something we need to understand. It's not enough for you to say, I have a sahih hadith. This is a sahih hadith in sahih books. And every single muhaddith that has come has rejected this hadith. It's sahih in its authentic narration, but its text does not follow the text of 15 other narrators that have already preceded, that have said, Azhar al-lawn, that he was gold, rosy in color. So how do you take makhraj? And see how the ulama take out with I wanted to show this because we need to learn this adab with hadith. So they say, oh, hadith, oh, let's reject this. Oh, it's da'if hadith, get rid of it. Ajeeb. This is a qawl of Rasulullah. Says, you don't know. So look at how they turn. Azharul lawn. من روى صفته عن غير أنس فقد وصفه بالبياض دون السمرة وهم 15 صحابيا. 15 صحابيين have narrated him to be golden. حافظ العراقي, he says, الترجيح برواية البيضاء بكثرة الرواء مزيد الوثوق, that we have so many narrations that we cannot take the word أسمر. But how do we make sure that we show adab to this sahih hadith? So they said two things. Number one, that this was something that the narrator, he kind of slipped. He wanted to say Azhar. Look at the words. Azhar Asmar. So they said, because of the words are all from the same makhraj, as, then it might have been that it was a nighttime or somewhere where he heard the hadith and he misheard it. So they gave benefit of doubt to the narrator. The second thing they say is when he is saying Asmarul Lawn, it is referring to the tan. That on that particular day when he saw Rasulullah, he might have worked out, he might have been outside, you know, Battle of Ahzab. We don't know when this hadith happened. So at that time, Rasulullah, remember he said he was in the sunshine for, you know, all day, 8-9 hours. If you and I go there today, we're definitely going to be Asmar, no matter how white you are, right? You're going to turn out to be tan. So it is referring to the predominant tan that had overtaken the rosy, beautiful white color. So yet you don't deny the hadith from existence. You don't legislate it, but you still do adab to that hadith. And that is something that sometimes is lost, you know, into darker when it's with heat, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last is وَإِذَا مَشَى يَتَكَفَّى, and when he walked really fast. So it is mentioned, it's as if, we're going to read more about Mashin Rasulullah, the walking of Rasulullah, it was as if he walked, he was slanted forward, and he would forcefully lift his heels off to the ground. Kind of like some of the brothers who walk outside. Sometimes. When I see them, right? Some people are walking really fast, and you see them, they're leaning forward. And some brothers, mashallah, they're just enjoying their time. They're like, you know, biwi nahi hai, bachche nahi hai, great parking lot, I can just walk around and be, you know, in peace. But to be able to see him walk, it was كَأَنَّمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ الْحَدَدِ It's as if he was descending down from a hill. That's the pace that he would have. Okay, and it was a very purposeful pace. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to understand.